Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I forgot.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we are now doing our merge episode predictions and power rankings for Survivor Island of the Idols. God, it's been a while. It's been a long week for me. But we are joined by Kellen Bechtold, and I'm very excited about that. That's a great pick-me-up. That's exactly what I needed after this long, miserable, sad week. So, Kellen, thanks
for
joining us.
We'll ride on the Kellen train.
That's it. That's it. I love the picture that you posted on your Instagram story. So here's me telling everybody to go follow Kellen on Instagram as if you don't already. But the picture she posted is adorable, and I'm not just saying that because War Dog is in it. I think it's really adorable.
It's a really cute picture of me, Phil, War Dog, and Bradley. We don't remember what we were doing in that photo, but it was a really fun night.
So you look overjoyed.
I think me and War Dog may have been trying to fit on Phil and Bradley's laps, it's like something like that.
Yeah, and it was like a fight over my lap. For some reason, War Dog really wanted to sit on my lap. It was
Even a flap, Phil. Don't undersell yourself.
War dog. But yeah, that was an interesting picture. Wasn't expecting to see that today. And we got to see it twice because the time was posted wrong the first time. Not that we got the time right the second time, because here we are, but here
we're all here. Same day, same time. I'm full on Survivor swag today for you guys. I was just feeling it. I watched the episode 3 times this week. Wow. I have all of my notes, showing them fast so you don't get spoilers. Like, I'm excited.
If anybody wants to freeze frame what I just did, that's my 3 people who I have written down on my 13-person power rankings right now. So I'm along for the ride here, Kellen, because I had to I did not watch the episode live. I was working. We have like this market thing that I do for my boss, and it was really crazy. So I didn't get to watch the episode live, and then I got to catch up on it, but I've only watched it once. I haven't seen it at 3 times like you have, and I did not get to watch it as closely as I would have had I been doing a podcast on it. So you're going to have to teach me something tonight, because I have no clue what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that as I was watching it, I was like, I feel like I should have gone back and watched the episode before, because I'm not sure that I learned a ton of new information, but I'm really liking this season. I don't know like what Survivor World is saying. How are you guys feeling about it?
I think it's been super entertaining. I think last week was definitely the best episode of the season. I thought Kelly was amazing. I thought I think this season is having, which is impressive because you have 2 tribes, Island of the Idols and Challenges. It's doing a really good job of balancing camp life, like a bunch of really, really heavy and interesting conversations and strategy, and nothing feels overbearing, which is really impressive.
Yeah, I feel like the editing is like, I don't know what the difference is, but I feel like it's a whole different ball game. I have not been able to figure out who is getting voted out during the tribals, even like maybe a little bit like towards the end of the tribal. But at the beginning of the tribal, I haven't felt like I knew who was going home any week, which is kind of crazy. Sometimes you can tell like in the first 5 minutes of an episode, oh, it's between this person or this person. So I've enjoyed the differences in editing this season as well.
Yeah. And then last week, Jack going home, when Jack went home, I was not expecting that at all. I was expecting Jamal to end up playing the idol for Nora and then them to just vote Jamal out and it just be so boneheaded. But, you know, Jamal ends up surviving, playing his idol for Nora. Nora's safe. Now Nora is going to be like indebted to Jamal, even though she didn't actually need to have the idol played for her. It's still something that's going to help. And Kelly playing the idol for Dean, and Kelly's performance was insane. I didn't get to talk about last week's episode, and I loved it. I had so much to say, and I couldn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I'd just sit there with it in my head for the last 4 days. So, but I thought it was great, and I agree with you, Kellen. Like, there's been episodes where I have no idea what's going on. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I'm frustrated, like when Tom Laidlaw went home and when Chelsea went home. I still don't get why they went home. But in an episode like last week's, Jax was fantastic because it makes sense why he went home. But I did not see that coming at all.
You think it was just because they really wanted to split him and Jamal up, like that Kelly just wanted to split the two of them up, and she maybe heard wind or just thought it was more likely Jamal had an idol? Like, was he like in a power couple? Like, Jamal maybe. And Jack were in a couple situation, and Jack's the one who went home. To me, Jack is someone who would never win, really.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's how they view Jamal too, though.
Yeah,
I think
they don't. He's not like likable enough.
I have my take on Jamal, and I texted this to Alexa, and I think Jamal is getting like, he's like the closest thing we've had to Sean Rector since we had Sean Rector, where you have this like African-American man who is out there and he says things that you side with completely. And the audience like loves him for, but then there's also times where his own cast will be like, oh, well, I don't like what Jamal's doing here, but they're showing this complex character that you root for. And then, but still like is human enough to say the wrong things. And so I feel like we're getting a very similar to what Sean got back in Marquesas, where everybody loved him and his cast loved him, but still there would be times where they just didn't quite click with him. And I thought it was interesting that we went from him and Jack having the conversation they did 2 episodes ago to this week, I forget who it was, but somebody saying like, yeah, I don't know how I really feel about Jamal right now. And I was like, wow, we just got a big hero edit from him earlier, and now we're not getting that. So maybe they just thought Jack was a little bit more threatening or a little bit more likely to be able to fit in with the other side? I really don't know.
Yeah, I can't. And I am bad. I was trying to like track back a little bit of who has relationship, because I was trying to rank everyone and trying to remember who has relationships back on the other side. So I have like the original tribes and then the new tribes and then crisscrosses of who knows who and who doesn't know who yet. So yeah, I do think Jack may have been just a little bit of like a stray bullet hit him. And that was Kelly's like safe way to run that entire tribal, which I think was amazing. I would love to hear what you guys think about if it's so fun to watch that she did that. It's so fun to watch that she gave the idol to Dean and she's like, what? Like, what's happening? Like, hilarious. Like, I loved it. But when it's like for her gaining anything for her game, I'm not sure. What, how do you guys feel about it?
Ooh. Well, Alexa just muted herself, so I'll go. Oh, wait, Alexa, are you back? Nope, she's just muted herself again. She'll figure it out. But I actually think that this worked really well for her because now she's going to be able to get Dean on her side, and Dean is always going to be on her side because of that play. And even though he's lower in the... But because he's so low in the numbers, who's he going to go to? He's not going to work with Karishma. He's not going to work.
But Dean, and I think, but doesn't Dean and Aaron have a work, like, we can
they did at the beginning,
that Dean
but
and
not
Aaron
really
have a working relationship?
A little bit at the beginning, but not really. He doesn't really have a relationship with Missy or Elaine. And I think you're asking why Jack and not Jamal. And I think earlier in the season, with how perceptive Kelly is and how good Kelly is at this game, I think what ended up happening, Alexa is struggling and it's making me
such
laugh.
A mess. Keep going.
but I think what happened earlier in the season is after Molly got voted out, Jack was very receptive to understanding, okay, it's fine, it's just a game. And he repaired the relationships that were broken by the Molly boot, and Jamal did not. And I think that because Jamal didn't, maybe Kelly sits there and says, Jamal's not going to go back to any of the other people, and I'm kind of building my own army over here. And my army is going to have Dean in it, and it's going to have, you know, like, it's not going to have Jamal, but Jamal's not going to be a part of the other army either. And I think that that's really important.
Yeah, it does leave Jamal with not a ton of people to go back to that we know of. He's like a lone, a lone wolf now. So yeah, anyway, but it still is like, if Dean keeps his mouth shut, it's going to be fine. If he doesn't, like, he could use that. I don't think he's going to keep it a secret. I think he's going to go back and tell his buddies. And I think I think she can survive it. You'll see where I know, no spoilers about where I have her, but I just don't know that it gained fan love. Like, you go to Reddit, everyone's going to love it. As far as like, oh, was it worth it to get that one person? And then when she finds out, she's going to break trust with Janet. Who all was over there is like Janet,
Jamal.
Yeah, Janet, Jamal, Nora, she can probably talk around, but Karishma is kind of like a, now you lied to me, like, see.
But nobody knows that Kelly played this for Dean.
I know, but they're going to know.
When's it going to happen, Kellen? When's it going to happen?
I think Jamal's going to know, because in all of Jack's exit interviews, I turned my mic off, so I hope I sound okay. In all of Jack's exit interviews, he said the second he started walking down, he knew Kelly was involved. And so I think because Jack was already perceptive of that, I'm sure Jamal will be. Hi, Bradley. But
our number one fan has arrived. So there we go.
He's here.
So he's here.
I think it's going to get figured out in terms of, like, because Kelly said this, that Dean has a lot of power over her now. So I think he will be loyal, but I did see someone post something today where he could sell that one ally for four allies, throw her on the bus immediately, and then she's screwed.
I'm not criticizing her gameplay. Like, love watching her. It's so fun, and I wish I would have been that brave and like that. Like one of my favorite moments of the whole episode was when she's in her live confessional and she's I just have an idea. And like, to just watch her do that, like, she's so smart. obviously, in real life and in the game, and just to like watch her go through that. And then she comes up with this idea, she executes on it, and it happens. It's, I mean, it's like Survivor gold. So I'm excited to see what happens. And if she pulls it off, it's so bomb. Like, I hope Dean keeps his mouth shut, but we'll see.
I love that that was caught on camera. And I think, to Phil's point, I think, what does Dean gain by throwing her under the bus? Because he doesn't really have any friends right now. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think that his and Kelly's relationship, because it extends beyond the game, that's going to help. I think maybe keep Dean from speaking out against her and saying that she did this, because now there's the whole reason that they even have a relationship is because they have a relationship that extends beyond. And I mean, that's not really a fault. That's just the way it was cast. And how are you going to be able to do a background check on every single person that you know in your life? And so I think that Dean might have a little bit more respect for Kelly than if it was just somebody that you literally only knew them as like a pawn in your game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Dean is not coming across as someone who's doing things out of feelings at all, which is maybe a good thing on Survivor, but I don't know. It wouldn't, we don't know, but it's fun to think about. And it was sure as heck fun to watch. And for her to like be acting, that's, I think, why I wanted to watch again, was because I wanted to see her like knowing the whole thing and then watch her act through the whole thing. And when Nora was like, why wouldn't you have played it last time? And she's like, I don't know. But you, because we know, you can see the glimmer in her eye of like, oh shit, for like 0.001 second. But then she explains her way out, like says, I don't know. And so it's just been so fun to watch Kelly. She's like an awesome player to watch. Anyway,
it's been great.
Fangirling.
If Dean ends up winning, he needs to give his ex-girlfriend at least half of that money, because she's the reason Dean is still alive, wherever she is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He can thank her for this.
If Dean ends up winning, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I mean, how is Dean? I love that. I think my favorite thing about Dean so far this season is how Reddit has reacted to Dean, where normally we see the purple woman. It's not really ever a guy who's purple. It's always the woman, and it was Purple Kelly, obviously. You had Chelsea on your season. And they always stand them so hard. And then here is Dean, who he doesn't get anything the first two episodes. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, people are probably going to say, okay, it's leveling out. Finally, we get a guy who's not really talking much and whatever. And then he starts to build up, and he says nothing but stupid things. The first episode where he talks, he says the thing about what was it? Splitting the vote in front of everybody, which is never smart. But now it's just gotten to a point where he has this cult following, which is all of our Survivor. Everybody loves him so much. And I think this is just such a funny turn, because really, what has Dean done other than just like be Dean? He hasn't done anything that outlandish or anything.
People love memes. Everyone loves
him. He's a meme. He is a meme. So
he's pretty to look at, but I always have to preface this, like, people, when I'm in these podcasts, like, I understand they're people, so I don't want to be super critical, but like on the show, he said some shit that I'm like, I don't think I would have gotten along with him out there. Like, he said some kind of cruel thing about Karishma, like a phrase that I don't even feel comfortable repeating, like about Karishma. And he just hasn't, when he said to Missy, when he was like, well, I can't work with you now. And it's like, dude, like, what are you even doing? Like, it's not good Survivor play. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I think that's why maybe people are intrigued by him. And that, I mean, I've been obsessed with Elizabeth all season. And this is a really bad comparison, but I think people are probably intrigued by Dean because he's not playing like a gigantic super fan. And so maybe that's refreshing, because I think so many people who play now are huge super fans.
I think another thing too is that he was closely aligned with Chelsea, who obviously the entire fan base wanted to see do really well. And because she went out when she did, I think people have kind of latched onto Dean as an extension of Chelsea. I thought it was hilarious when Chelsea posted this week, why is nobody worried about this showmance? And Dean was cuddling with Karishma. And I thought that was so funny. And really, I think it just comes down to Dean was the big spoon with Karishma. With Chelsea, Chelsea was the big spoon. You always get rid of the big spoon, you know. And right now, they're just not worried about Dean as a winner. So poor Chelsea, you know, she should have been Little Spoon. She would have been fine.
Don't even get me started on the Chelsea thing. Like, that just, that was not a smart move in general, and I loved her, so that is like not okay with me that Chelsea's gone. I'm still working on it. And then her exit press of just, she's just like so genuine, and literally all of us feel that way when we get voted. Maybe not. Maybe some people don't care, but all the people who care, like when you're going through that exit press, you really like just want to cry and be like, I thought I was going to, like, this is not what I want. And so I just admired her so much for just being vulnerable and genuine and really presenting herself the way we all felt when we got voted out too early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know we're almost 20 minutes in and have not done a single power ranking, but I just want to say, based on you're talking about Chelsea, how she was crying and how a lot of you are very emotional. Watching Jax Ponderosa, I actually thought it was wasn't what I expected at all, where he was a lot more upbeat and just positive about the entire situation and saying he can't wait to welcome other people in. And I think that might come more with, he got voted out before the merge and at 14th place and never probably expected that he would make it to Ponderosa, getting voted out when he did. So he might have a little bit more of a positive outlook on it right now, because who would have thought that he'd be there? I just think that this means the jury twist is coming. I think that they're going to do the same thing Michelle did when she voted out Neil. I think that's going to happen on this season, because now you're going to have way too big of a jury. I mean, this is going to be the biggest jury we've had since, well, I mean, other than last year, but
yeah, you know, I think they probably, I don't know. I feel like they probably just liked it. And then honestly, it's probably cheaper for them to keep people at Ponderosa and not send them to Australia. And they're like, why not, you know, why not just have it be bigger? Like, I don't know. For me, I feel like it's just that, but maybe not. I don't know.
I could still be wrong. I just feel like they're going to run out of things for Sandra and Rob to give people. And later on in the season, I feel like giving somebody the ability to vote out a jury member is something I could see Rob and Sandra being able to give out.
That's smart. But smart, Phil, smart.
Thanks, Kellen. Kellen says that to me all the time. That's why I always invite her on these things.
That's great. I pay him with compliments.
This is why we get along. let's do the power rankings then, because it plays into us just talking about Island of the Idols. And I'm going to start with my number one, because I did not get to talk about this woman last week, and it killed me, because this is my girl, and she did it. Janet had like the greatest episode of all time last week, and I love her so much. And when she flashed the entire tribe, I just was like applauding.
Amazing.
When she tells Rob, get out of here, I'm not taking your stupid deal. She would have lost her vote anyway, but we can talk about that at another point. That was so dumb. I loved how she was this whole episode. And then you have the queen, or queen 2.0, not quite the queen, but queen 2.0 saying she's going to win this season. She could win this season. I'm over here like, wait a second. I love Janet, but is Janet actually going to be able to win this season? Would they show Sandra being so obviously wrong about something? She was saying Janet's going to win. So I have Janet as my number one. I've been a huge fan of her since the beginning. And then to see what she did last week, I loved her at Tribal Council. I thought her entire speech to Jamal and everything that she said was just absolutely perfect. I am just all in on Janet. I'm so happy. Not only did she make it to the merge, her name never even came up. She killed it. She's 59 years old. She absolutely killed it. I love it.
I love Janet. I'm someone on Reddit coined the term Stanet, and I'm pretty into that. I am a Stanet. Janet is amazing. I have Janet at, I know I'm jumping here, but I've heard number four. Everyone I have higher than her is all kind of for the same reason. I think my number one is Elaine, which is shocking considering that everyone's been talking about her. But I think the Elaines and the Janets, they're not going to get targeted because they're not trying to be the star of the show. And at the merge, I think a lot of people are going to try to be the star of the show. And I don't think they're going to get hit. I think someone else is going to get hit.
We could not disagree more on Elaine, Alexa. Kellen, who you got at number one?
So I, because it was the merge episode and all of that, I kind of really went at it in the, like, I want to pick who I think is going to win for real. Mm-hmm. Not like those just survive 1 week. I'm going to make it all about me and what I think is going to happen. And you know how it
goes. As expected.
As expected. So I would actually say that this person may be a slight merge boot risk like traditionally he would be, but I think he might still win, and he was my preseason winner pick, so I'm like just going all in on it, and I have Aaron at number one.
Wow.
You said Tommy's name wrong. Aaron at number one. Okay, let's talk about Aaron, because I think I came around on Aaron sooner than most, because I started liking him earlier on, and I think there's still some people out there who haven't come around on him. But you had him as your preseason winner pick, and now you're putting him at number one at this merge. What do you love so much about Aaron?
I think that so before the season, this is not probably the nicest thing to say, but I've kind of learned this, and Survivor friends of mine, we've talked back of like who the winners are. It's like a bitter loser way of bringing this up, but it's like it's always someone who like doesn't really stick out. You kind of don't remember their name in the preseason, maybe. I mean, Wendell kind of was a pre, because he was like Jeff's winner pick and stuff, so Wendell might be an exception to the rule, but like historically, if you look over, they're sort of like, they're not the youngest, they're not the oldest, they're not the biggest, they're not the, and Aaron was really kind of like, oh, he's like right in the middle of all of these other people who stick out. So I felt like from the beginning, he was, I mean, he's like super handsome and all these things, but he kind of seemed not memorable at the beginning. I feel like that's a really good way, if you're smart like he is, to sneak through and start to, he's amassing an army is what I see him doing. And the way he is playing reminds me of the way that Dom and Wendell played, which is like, we're going to do this, right? Because he's done that with Tommy, right? They showed, that's the only like twosome that we've really seen. I think I was trying to think through of any others. He was like working it. He meets Missy where she is. And they just keep showing him. First of all, he gets like the cute edit too of like his kid is on his socks and his kid's name is Kellen. Mm-hmm. So all these things,
this is
like
cheating.
That's like Karen.
Yeah, I didn't know that until they showed it on the, so I preseason pick before that. I just think he's doing a pretty good job of setting up different ways of getting through. Like he's going to get Dean to come back. He's building up with Tommy, he meets Missy where she is, and he's just being strategic and kind of running the show. He's a little bit cocky. They've shown him as a little bit cocky, so he might have a downfall, but I'm going to stick with it. And I think he'll make it through the merge. I think he's also safe this week. So that's why I put Aaron first.
I like this. The only thing I heard the entire time was this, though. So sorry. Bradley commented that as soon as you said, all we do is talk about the winner. So, but no, I think that's really a good take on Aaron, because you were saying who's the other twosome we've seen. The other twosome is Aaron and Missy. So out of this season, we've seen two really strong twosomes, and both of them involve Aaron.
Ding, ding,
and
ding.
I've been trying to like, so Will and I do this, the Patreon only podcast, which we didn't do this past week, but we've been doing one, and he's been saying Aaron has no chance since week one. And I keep on trying to convince him that he's wrong, and he's just not getting it. But everything you just said is what I've been trying to say, just not saying well. So thank you. I'm now just going to play that clip for him anytime that he says Aaron has no shot.
There you go. Yeah, I'm an Aaron stan, so I guess
Aaron.
A stan.
You're staring at Aaron.
Yeah, Bryce Isaiah. I texted Bryce Isaiah because there was this new picture that came out of Aaron, and I like texted Bryce. I was like, just gotta make sure you see this, and he's married, so I can't tweet it because it's like weird. But I wanted to make sure you saw this, and he was like, Zaddy, you know.
Of course.
The 2020 Zaddy calendar.
Definitely. There are reasons, multiple reasons leading into it, but I think Aaron is playing a pretty good game, and he looks tough as nails, and like he's going to be willing to make big moves, and he might overplay, but I'm going to go with it.
Since you just said make big moves, and that triggered like every time Ciara Easton said that, how do you feel about them using your phrase over and over and over again on this season? They said trust your gut like 80 times on this season. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm a Survivor nerd, so I've gone back and watched other old seasons since then, because that's just kind of what I do sometimes. And people say trust your gut a lot on the show, even before I existed. But now that I did do that, when Rob was like, just trust your gut, I was like, dude, like that's my, which also I felt a little bit pissed off. Bradley said bitter Kellen already. Oh, just wait, it's about to get more bitter. Ooh. When everyone was just like, oh, Janet, turn down the advantage and she's so amazing, like bitter Kellen popping up again. Janet is so amazing because she turned down the reward and no one, or the game, and no one's ever done that before and blah, 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 blah. And I like have this tweet drafted that I never sent, which was like, oh, so if Boston Rob would have been there on Ghost Island to say, Kellen, you made the right decision, then all y'all would not have been giving me so much shit. So that's what I was like. I love Janet. She is my Rob. I was on our HAP the other week and he said, who would you want to play with? Janet was my number one person who I would want to align with. But I'm like, all right, been there, done that. Relax, everybody. People go to the island and say no because they calculate their risk. Like, that's what a good survivor does. But, you know, no, I love Janet.
Also, didn't
I
Kelly
agree. I totally get that. That's not better. I think it's super fair.
And didn't Kelly turn down Boston Rob this season? Like, didn't she do that and then just ended up getting a better, like, situation out of it? But she said no. So this wasn't the first person even on this season to turn him down. And there's the wine. She wasn't even the first person on this season to turn him down. So I don't know. I thought that was weird, too. I think that they have to lean into it as much as they can, just because she actually walked out of there with nothing but was patted on the back as if you had done the right thing. But yeah, if I'm looking at this so far, I think the winner is probably somebody who has gone to Island of the Idols. I do, unless it's Aaron or Tommy. I think those are the only two who might not have gone there yet but could win. And I think Kelly and Janet have really killed it over at Island of the Idols, where there's just no question asked. Rob and Sandra loved what they did, really respect the move that they made. And that's why I have Kelly at number two. And this might be dangerous because I don't know. I think she could be in trouble a little bit further down the line. I don't think she's in trouble yet. But if I have to sit down and say who's winning after last week's episode, if I'm going into the merge and saying who's going to win the season, I got to stick with Kelly because I just think she is playing way too good of a game. Her edit is so freaking good. And nobody, unless Dean opens his mouth, which he might go home before he even has a chance. And then the only time he's telling people is when he's at Ponderosa, which then it's just really helping her resume more than anything. Unless Dean says something, nobody has any idea. I mean, that picture of Kelly holding up her vote that somebody screenshotted where she's just got that stare on her face as she's voting for Dean.
So evil. It's so good.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. So I got Kelly at number two. I got to say, if I had to put Janet at one just because I didn't get to talk about her last week, but Kelly's who I foresee winning the season.
Well, we can, because we've talked about Janet. I had Janet at number two for all of these reasons. I think there's a shot she could sneak in under the radar, and if she's the, I wouldn't take her. I bet she'll get the money if she makes it. I bet she'll win if she makes it. So that's why I have her at number two. And I don't think she's going anywhere this week.
What a weird situation too, after so many seasons where we saw Mama C and Julie Rosenberg, and we've seen so many older women sit in the final three and lose. I think if Janet gets there, she's going to get votes and possibly pull this out, just because nobody is looking at Janet as a goat. Nobody is looking at Janet as somebody who's just being dragged along, and her name hasn't come up. I love it. So
it also sounds like Janet, just from all of Jack's exit press, it sounds like Janet was really just running that camp too. So I think when you have that respect already, and I think Jack and Janet had it sounds like a really tight mother-son bond. Those are people are going to respect that, and people are really, really going to be drawn to that.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Alexa, who's your number two?
I'll do two and three because I already did my one and four. I have Tommy at two and Missy at three. So I know Missy's a weird one because I know her name came up in the preview.
You have Elaine and Missy at your top of your list.
I sure do.
She has not been watching this season, Kellen.
There's also one thing to note, which screws me up and probably screws everybody up. This is a 2-hour episode, and I think two people go home.
I think it is.
Definitely be Elaine and Missy. But I made this list based on how many friends everybody has. Because I think at the merge, if you don't have friends, this is a group that was so afraid of not making the merge. So I feel like this is going to be another kind of Russian roulette kind of vote. And I think if Tommy's name comes up, or I think if Missy's name comes up, enough people are going to raise their hands and say, I can't have that. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Elaine will not throw Missy under the bus. But both of these people are Aaron's buds. Aaron's not going to let either of them go. Lauren's not going to let Tommy go. So I think between the two of them, there are enough people who aren't going to throw them under the bus. My only fear with Missy is I think that she's a very clear leader. But as we saw, Missy was at some point the target, and Lauren goes over and tells her. Mm-hmm. So I think both of them have enough safety nets where their names will come up until the vote happens, but I don't think they'll actually go home.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't have Missy that much lower because I do think she's safe. Elaine's the one where I'm like,
well, yeah, Elaine's the...
You put her at number one. What did you read online, Alexa? What did you see online?
I'm very anti-spoilers.
Bradley's over here texting Alexa spoilers during the podcast. Because he's the one, okay? Everybody always thinks Carl's the spoiled one. Bradley's over here like, where can I get spoilers, guys?
What separate are you guys going on?
Yeah, what do you do? My number three is Tommy. So, you know, Alexa just mentioned, or did you both mention Tommy or just Alexa? Just Alexa. But Tommy's one.
Funny.
I think that he has too many friends. And I think that the people who are getting really good edits on this season, like Janet, like Kelly, like Aaron, they all like Tommy. So I can't see Tommy going home early here. If Tommy's not going to win, he's not going to sit at final three, and he's not going to lose fire because he would win the fire making thing. So I think he's probably our sixth place, maybe the Hubicki boot where he goes right before the finale, right? That was where you went too, right? It was right before the finale.
No, I put seven, or I have Tommy at seven, which was my boot, and I put him. So my two predictions preseason were Aaron wins and Tommy is like my seven spot friend. And like exactly like that, where he's just like too likable. He's not offending anybody. Everyone's going to feel like they can trust him, but there's no way they're going to let him get anywhere close. Mm-hmm. So I think he's totally safe for this week. I agree with you, completely safe. But I think he'll go and like, I totally agree with you. 6-7 mm-hmm. for him.
That's mm-hmm. what it feels like. And I think this is a season where there's two people who are being considered goats. And I think Nora, I think, is a goat. But Karishma, I don't necessarily think is one. I just think that we're being led to believe that because in her pregame, she had to overcome so much that we're only seeing the negative. So she gets the redemption arc kind of. That's what it feels like to me. So I don't think she's actually a goat. But in a season where there looks like there's goats, and then you have Dan, who I think is a clear goat. But when you have people like that, I could see a situation where we don't see any of those three in the final three just because the relationships don't really involve those three, which is a really weird thing on Survivor because it is always about the relationships. And yeah, a lot of times goats will make it far because they've latched on to somebody who wants to take them. Yeah. But right now, who's sitting there saying, I need to take Nora, I need to take Karishma, I need to take Dan? I think that they have better relationships with other people that they still think they can beat at the end.
Agreed. Alexa, what do you think about Tommy? Where'd you have him?
For my like final placement.
Oh, whoops.
So I had Tommy at number two. I think originally.
Oh, you said that already. And then I said your name, and then, you know, my computer friend over here.
She got all triggered. Where does she think Tommy's going to go?
She says, I don't have an opinion on that.
She wouldn't do well on this podcast.
Alexa, wait, is that you sitting next to Kellen, Alexa?
That's me.
You?
My negative. I have no opinion.
I don't have an opinion. Yeah. Who's your winner pick?
I'm number one. You guys wanted spicy cakes, and I'm here with them.
Well, okay. So where do you actually think Tommy finishes, though? Because Kellen and I, sorry, I'm calling you Alexa. I wrote down Kellen for Tommy's name. I'm not kidding. This is terrible.
I think Tommy's really obvious, and I'm always the person to pick the obvious winner as the winner, which is why I picked Wendell as the winner. And like Brendan, like I think, like I really liked Desi from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. I think Tommy's super obvious, and I think he has a million friends, but I think you guys are right. Like between sixth and eighth place is where Tommy's going to fall.
I think that's fair. Do you think that he gets targeted at all? And maybe, Kellen, you do because you have not brought his name up yet, but then it seems like you're going to put him at six or seven.
I had him at seven, yeah.
Okay. Do you think that he gets targeted at all this week, or do you think that the target's going to kind of fall along tribal lines, or just, like, is Tommy too big of a threat to not get targeted at least a little bit this week?
No, I think I think people really like him, but he's, like, other than the likability factor – when has the first boot at the merge since when has it been like the person that everyone likes? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not, mm-hmm. I can't think of the exact, like I can't name them off the top of my head, but I don't remember many times where the merge boot was because of likability.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually whoever felt the most comfortable.
You guys didn't vote out Noble because he was the most likable?
Sips water.
Kellen sips her tea.
I just think that people are looking for a common outlier to be like that's why, well, yeah, I'm sorry. There's like, we'll get there, I guess. But they're looking for a common outlier that's the safest, easiest bet to be like, yeah, as long as it's not me. And the counterpart to the as long as it's not me is not, oh, they're super likable. It's usually like, they're going to win every challenge, or I cannot stand to live with that person. Like they got to go, or, you know, some combination of that. So mm-hmm. I think Tommy's safe this week. I hope he is anyway. I'd be sad. I'd be sad if he goes.
Yeah.
It gets scary if it's a possible two boots, because the merge is hard enough to predict anyway. And then that second boot could be one of these people that we're feeling really confident about. And this whole season, I think the only time I've done well in the power ranking game is when Tom Laidlaw went home. Last week, I had Jack at number four. And Alexa, you had Jack at number four as well. Like, mm-hmm. it's tough right now. I don't know. Kellen, who's your number three?
My number three is Elizabeth. That's her name,
I
right?
I like that. No.
You guys are like silent. I was like, did I just screw something up? Well, because I also.
You're still on 37. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, wait. What? No. I think that she has a chance to make it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. Nobody's talked about her really. I don't think her name has come up, right?
No, like not at all.
No. Her name hasn't come up. She got it when you bring in the edit. She got a dope edit like on the Island of the Idols. I don't think there's any way. I bet she will make it through both boots this week.
I agree. Alexa, do you like Elizabeth?
I love Elizabeth. I am passionate about Elizabeth, but she is not my number three. I have Elizabeth in a very different spot and I'll get to her, but I think Elizabeth is, I think she's so great. I know I definitely stan half this cast, but I was a big Elizabeth apologist early on because everyone was giving her so much crap for not that good of a reason. And I think Elizabeth is at the moment in a really good position because no one's afraid of her, but everyone seems to trust and genuinely like her, but not to the extent that she would get voted out the way that Jack would.
Do you think they all know that she's not a Survivor fan?
I bet they
do. Think she's
I bet
like they open do about that out there.
Especially she started on a tribe with Chelsea, who I feel like was probably talking about it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know how it's with anything that you're just not familiar with. When you talk to a super fan, if you can't keep up, you can't keep up. And it's going to be very apparent if you nod your head and say, yeah, I saw that episode. And then it's like, oh yeah, when they did this, you can only say, yeah, uh-huh. So many times before people realize you have no idea what we're referencing.
Yeah.
No, I think it definitely came out on that tribe.
Yeah. I don't, she probably didn't outwardly say it, but I'm sure, like you said, Phil, I'm sure it was implied. What I want to know is, do non-original Lyra members know that she's an Olympic swimmer yet?
So who has
an Olympic medalist?
Yeah.
So like, Janet, Kelly, Jamal, and Nora. Those are the people, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't know. And then the people who she's currently on a tribe with, Tommy, Dan, and Lauren, do they know that she's an Olympic swimmer? Olympic medal.
It probably came up with them, I would think, because she's already mentioned it to her tribe. So maybe when they sit around, get to know you, what do you do? What have you done? You know, that probably comes up because I don't think she's really trying to hide it. Janet probably knows because Janet only loses to Olympians in swimming.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't an Olympic, Janet knew. She was right
Janet
there.
Janet just knows. Janet knows everything.
She's the seal.
I want to be friends with Janet. Like, and I always feel like sometimes the older people that play, the wiser people that play, don't like bum around with all of us low life young kids that like, you know, go around and drink and party all the time. And I'm like, please, can I get with Janet? Like, can you imagine going to dinner with Janet and Keith Nail?
That'd be amazing.
Like, that's what I'm going to ask for my 40th birthday, which is 7 years away.
I was going to say, Kellen, how close are we to that?
I'm about to turn 33, but that is what I want for my 40th birthday is dinner with Keith Nail and Janet.
I think that's very attainable.
Can I go too? Like, if I put this together?
Yeah, if you put it together.
Okay, I'll put it together. I'll put it together. Okay. Table for four.
Sounds good.
All right, my number four, I have, based on what Kellen's been saying, I feel like you might have her very low. But she just lost me $20 in Applebee gift cards to Lauren O'Connell. So I have to, you know, I want to throw that out there. I want everybody to know I'm going to give that $20 gift card to Lauren. She's going to Instagram model her food. But I have Nora at number four. Nora doesn't die. Okay. Nora just keeps on going. She just keeps on chugging along. You know, every time it looks like Nora's done, she's not. Jamal's move last week, I do think was the right move, because what he is thinking is that Dean and Karishma are voting for Nora, and he doesn't know that his alliance, or that one of his closest allies, gave the idol to Dean. So he's thinking nobody has a plan in motion. It's got to be that the votes are going against Nora, so I'll play the idol for Nora. And instead it ends up being Jack. But that shows he cared that much about Nora that he was going to use an idol and probably just end up getting rid of Karishma after that. I thought that was really surprising, especially since Nora had said earlier that she would get rid of Jamal. I think her relationships are good enough to drag her through a little bit longer. And I mean, if it's going to be a 2-hour episode, I want 2 hours of Nora. I don't want Nora to go home at the end of it. I want a couple more episodes of Nora. I thought I'd be tired of her by now. I'm really not. So keep her around, please.
Don't we all want more of Nora? Like, did you read the Hollywood Reporter article that she did
today? I did not get a chance.
Oh my gosh, you'll get to do that after this. It's so good. Yeah, she was like, you know how a Wiggler's doing like the merge interview or whatever? She is the one who he interviewed for. And it's so good.
So she's the winner of the season. Right? Didn't Tony do it and he won? And then who did it on 37? Didn't Nick Wilson do it on 37? I'm just saying. She wins the season.
It's usually someone who went to like the majority of tribal councils. So
I don't even know who did our season.
Yeah, who did do your season?
I don't know. Bradley, will you please answer? Thank you.
Was it Bradley? He did it the week before that. Never mind. Where's Bradley? All right, who's up?
Okay, so I have just done 1, 2, 3. Aaron's 1, Janet's 2, Elizabeth's 3.
Yeah, so we've both done our 4 because we aren't nice to our guests and we make you go last.
You guys are so rude. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you? So this might be controversy. I have Dean at number 4.
Wow.
We all have no idea what's going on, huh? This is like, why is anybody listening to this? If you're listening to this for advice, stop. If you're listening to it for the personalities, keep going.
I might be completely wrong. The reason why Dean is like making it that far is I think he's going to blow up Kelly's spot. And I think he's going to use that to what Alexa said earlier to make a lot of friends. I got to figure out what to do about her.
I know.
Call her something else.
But I think that Aaron and Dean were on the same tribe. I think Aaron is going to swoop him under, and then it's going to be Aaron, Tommy, Dean. They have all of the guys this season have been like the women worried about the women's alliance. We've been trying, you know, there's been talks about women's alliances all along. So I think those like strong, muscular boys are going to come together and start to work on something. And I think they pull in like Lauren with them. Maybe Elaine comes over too. And they have Missy. So that's where I think Dean is going to last. To me, like what you said about Nora is like, she keeps hanging around. I kind of feel the same way about Dean. There's also a chance he's the perfect merge boot. Like I'm being pretty risky here. Like there's a good chance he's like attractive. He seems like he's athletic. I don't know if he actually is, but he seems like he's going to be athletic. It's not going to offend anyone, but Kelly doesn't want him to go. Like Kelly just saved her head out, saved him. Like, so Kelly doesn't want him to go. She has a lot of power. But Janet doesn't like him, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Dean. I think he's going to go with Aaron, and that they're going to become – Aaron, Dean, and Tommy are going to become a threesome.
I could see – so now you've convinced me. Here's our merge alliance that goes through the rest of the game. It's Aaron, Tommy, Dean, Lauren, Kelly, Missy, Janet. That's our seven.
Mm-hmm.
That's our seven. They take out like Nora, Karishma, Dan, Jamal, Elaine, Elizabeth. You've convinced me because Aaron and Tommy are very close. Aaron and Missy are very close. Dean is very close with Kelly. Kelly is seemed like she was close with Tommy early on. You have Janet, who's been shown with Tommy, and then you have Lauren and Missy, who have been close. You've convinced me, Kellen.
I think they're all going to come together. Lauren, Janet, Kelly, Tommy, Jamal is going to stick with them, and then Aaron and Dean. And I think that leaves everyone else out. Which only thing that contradicts myself is the Elizabeth thing. So I'm not sure how she survives through all that, but I do think those are the people that are going to kind of come together.
I could see it. I could definitely see it, which means Elaine at number one is not a good idea.
Elaine's going to get so many more advantages because everybody loves her, and then she'll be fine.
And then she'll be, that's true. That's true. Sandra is allowed to give somebody an idol. I pick Elaine and that's it.
Yeah. Janet, they'll fight over it.
They'll fight over it. My number five is Aaron. So again, I just don't see a reason why he'd be the one to go home. Alexa was saying she counts on how many people have friends. Like, how many friends does each person have? And I think that Aaron, even though he's got two really close friends, he doesn't have a lot of other friends maybe that branch out of that. But I actually think that helps him because nobody's going to be saying, oh, well, we can't swing Aaron to our side at some point. I feel like people are going to think that Aaron's more of a wild card than he is. And he definitely has a good social game. So I have him at number five. And based on how he's going, I think he's definitely going to end up in our finale.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have Aaron a little lower than you guys. I mean, you guys have convinced me on him. I'm going to do my 5-7.
You might be wrong. You girl.
I'm not moving it. I'm going to do my 5-7 just because they're part of this super alliance you guys came up with. I have Lauren at 5, Jamal at 6, and Kelly at 7. The Jamal and Kelly thing, I'm a little nervous about them because I think Jamal is going to figure it out. And I think the two of them are, and I said this on the recap, but the two of them, I think, are really good allies, but they both have very strong personalities. Mm-hmm. And at the merge, I think a bunch of, and like, there's going to be a Missy, there's going to be a lot of strong personalities floating around here, and they need to work together. And I think they know that, but I think just with how wild that tribal was, that tension is going to go through to the merge. But again, I think at the merge, you don't shoot your enemy in the face, you shoot their friend. So I think Jamal and Kelly, the horrifying.
That was a great analogy, Alexa. Thank you.
Everyone move on from that. I think Jamal and Kelly are going to be fine. I don't think anyone views Lauren as a threat. I think everybody really likes Lauren. So that's my reasoning for those three.
Okay. Now my question is, who's going to get shot in the face?
Elizabeth's getting shot in the face.
Wow.
Girl. Yep.
Your girl. Well, that was who you predicted to be the merge boot before the season began, right?
I know. I think I predicted Molly, but Elizabeth.
Oh, was it Molly? Whatever it was, I just remember calling it exactly. I was like, well, Alexa, I know who your merge boot is. And then you were like, guess it. And I guessed it 100% because you picked the same person every time.
I do. But keep you going. Do. Well, no, let's make some suspense to this.
I like this. Jamal is the one I'm most worried about in that whole bunch. I feel good about Kelly. I feel okay about Lauren. I don't think Lauren's on anybody's radar, which I think is dangerous for everybody else. Jamal, though, playing an idol that nobody knew Jamal had, that's a little scary. And Jamal could be a merge boot. He really could. He could be somebody who's big enough, who's strong enough, who's loud enough, who is kind of on the outside enough to just be a merge boot. And if you're purple, you still have the numbers 6-5. It's not strong numbers, but you still have them. So I'm a little worried about Jamal.
No, then it would drop down to 6-6.
Oh, that's right. There's 12 people left. Oh, my God. Nobody said I could do math.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry. First of all, I bring back that apology. I hope the way I corrected you did not hurt your feelings.
Oh, no. That's totally fine. No, absolutely. Kellen, you know well enough. I don't need that. Bradley's heading to a bar in case you cared. He wanted everybody to know. But no, you did not hurt my feelings. Of course not. You can't.
Yeah, it's 7-6. Kellen. It's 7-6. Original tribe to so those seven are, it's like it's gonna go two ways. Those seven, like you said, they're gonna be willing to sacrifice a person, but I actually don't think so, because then it goes down to 6-6. So I feel like that goes against completely my power ranking. So ignore that. Or the other way is they do have the majority. Like, we took out a majority person. Mm-hmm. We took out a Chris. We were all essentially like trying to make our own friends amongst Orange by saying like, yeah, come vote with us. Now we're all friends and we'll kick Chris out of the bunch. And so that is actually how all three of my top or bottom three are purple.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have the same thing, that's for sure. But I think that's an interesting take, especially since I can't do math. I really did. For some reason, I'm sitting here going, oh, it's 7-5 right now. And then if they vote somebody out, it's 6-5. Maybe it's because I just can't figure out like where Karishma is right now. Maybe that's what's going on in my head. But no, you're right. And I don't know. I feel like I know
it's
who so, I have.
It's hard, right?
Then we would have
heard just so difficult.
I know.
It's the worst.
I think I'm almost able to catch up with you guys if we're ready for that. I had Kelly at 5 and then Elaine at 6. So I don't think I have anything else to add, really. I just want Kelly to like continue to be a mastermind and like get through what she just did. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any way she's making it all the way to the, like, she's going to get caught like playing such a good game. She's just going to get caught. Like, she's playing so hard. I can't see her making it to the end, but I have her this high because I really want her to, and I want to see her get through this. And I think she's smart enough to figure out to like not be the merge boot. I think she is. What are you laughing at, Alexa?
No. I think you're right. I think she knows that she could be the merge boot. So I think she'll know to jump over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then your 7 is Tommy, right?
Yeah. And I have Elaine at 6 because Elaine feels kind of like the more traditional. She's not that old, but she's a little bit older than the other women there, I think. And she's kind of in the like really lovable, like Sun in a different way. Not she and Sunday are completely different, but sort of in that like lovable situation. So I think similar to Tommy, I could switch those two of 6 and 7 of like nobody's going to target them right now. Although Elaine is on the outside, so I don't know. I would not have put her first. I am. You are brave. Because her name has started to come up, and that's who Dean and Aaron were like, Aaron and Missy were wanting to throw Elaine under the bus, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a risk with her, but that's where I'm at. Yeah, to Tommy. And then my 8 is Lauren.
Oh my God, now I'm so far behind. Well, my number 6 is Lauren, so we can talk about Lauren.
Let's talk about Lauren.
I think that Lauren, I said this earlier, I just don't think that people are looking at her as much of a threat, which I think is a big mistake for people who aren't looking at her as a threat, because I think she is a threat. I think she's somebody who could kill it at a jury at the end, because I think she just has a really great personality and it's almost disarming. But where does she fit in with everybody? But you know what I mean? Because she was like, we put her in this big alliance. We did. But I also feel like she could be the person who is the loosest attached to that alliance. Just because she was shown very emotional when Jason went home. But was she that close with Jason? I didn't get the feeling that she was that close with Jason. So it's hard for me to really say how I feel about Lauren. Why do you have her at 8?
Well, because she's in like my a core four of Dean, Aaron, Tommy, and Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
So if they make it through this first vote and can do that, but Missy was saying like, I know I can see it clearly. Tommy and Lauren are so close. And like in that power couple, I think Lauren would get cut before Tommy would. So maybe I have her too high.
Yeah. And then I put her higher than you and Alexa put her higher than both of us. So maybe we're all just, Lauren's going home this week. All right. We can book that one. And then my 7, which his name has not come up yet, I have Dan. And I know that everybody's like, oh, look, Kellen's already giving me eyes. Yeah. Like Dan's going home this week. Everybody's shocked. I just don't see it. He's too needed for the majority voci. He's too needed. I mean, everybody was emotional when Jason got voted out, but Dan wasn't shown as super evil there, and that maybe Dan, Tommy, and Lauren bonded together. And so maybe the three of them, maybe Dan is somebody who you drag along with you and you can keep him in your alliance and you're not worried about him ever really blindsiding you because he doesn't have, he's never going to be able to get the numbers. So Dan at seven, I don't see Dan being our merge boot and I don't see him going 12th place either. I think that he's, I don't know if he's going to make the family visit, but it would make sense if he got to hug somebody. So maybe he makes the family visit.
Kellen, do you want to take this?
No, you go. You go. We've been, Phil and I have been.
I know. I do not have Dan at number seven. I will say that. I don't know him, but I think with the way this season is going and just with how well women have been empowered in this season, I don't know how Dan makes it past two votes. I don't know how they let that happen. I don't know what situation is going on there, but there are plenty of other people who I think can be used as numbers at this point who aren't Dan. And I don't think there's a single person who will raise their hand to save him.
He's my, I don't know how to have this conversation without spoiling it, but he's my number 13.
Same.
Wow. Everybody just throwing it out there, huh? Okay, fine.
Yeah, sorry. You guys can all just go home now. The show's over. No, it's not. It's going to get good. Stay tuned.
I don't have Dan at 13.
Like, when I was talking earlier, anyone but me, and it's somebody, and it's for a reason that you don't even have to justify. Like, what better than, like, he's the person who's like creeping on everyone in the shelter. Like, let's just get him out of here. It's the safest person to rally around. And especially if people are like starting to be upset about, like, they've talked about it every week. Who, like, Jamal is going to be, if Kelly's like, Dan touched me last night. Like, Jamal is going to be like, oh, well, but I need him for my number. Like, to Alexa's point, like, the way the season's been going and how much you just want the not me, and for a reason that's not going to piss anybody off, I think he's going to be the first one to go.
And like you said, if Jamal or if anybody said, no, guys, let's keep Dan, he's a number, that's just such a bad look. Not even from a gameplay perspective, to be honest. So
yeah.
Dan should have went home instead of Jason. I still don't understand why he didn't go home that week. And because he didn't go home that week, I feel like what we're seeing and what everybody else was living with, I think that it's a lot more spread out and maybe it's more, I don't know what the right word for this is, but maybe it's more tolerable because it's not happening like every 5 minutes as we're seeing on screen. Mm-hmm. So he didn't go home that week. I think that's really strange. Yeah. I think that Dan probably should have been the one to go there. And I think that that says a lot about how little they think he can win the game. So I think he sticks around through the merge. It makes sense, though, Kellen, what you said. Him going home, everybody can rally around him. So I don't know. One thing I wanted to ask you, though, because I didn't get to talk about last week's episode. We have that moment at Tribal where Jamal says the Women's Alliance, and then Kelly like really blows him up with that. And then Janet comes in and... Do you think that this was more of a strategic gameplay by Kelly, or do you think Kelly was like saying this because she really felt it? Like, what did you think? Because I really like, I don't have a take on it. I'm just curious what others were thinking of that.
I like, you watch Kelly and she is like in game mode. Like, you know, when she says, why didn't he play it that week? And you can see it for a split second in her eyes that she's like, oh, I wasn't prepared for that. Hmm. When she says, I'm heated, guys. Like, she has slipped out of game, Kelly game. And I think she just was angry. And I think it got to her. Like, it's when you are tired and like someone keeps trying to do the thing they're trying to do, like whether it's they keep trying to do the slingshot in a challenge and they keep missing, like mm-hmm. your anger towards that of like someone who's not good at something, but they like insist on keep doing it. And then if on top of it, he like tries to teach her how to do it. Like, I think she was just like had enough of him. Mm-hmm. And we saw him like kind of bossing Nora around as well. I'm sure he doesn't mean it that way, but you just start to get irritated. So I don't think it was calculated. I think Kelly was enough upset, and she cares about that and represents feminism in her life and real life that I think she probably slipped out of game a little bit and was making a statement as opposed to playing the game at that time.
Okay. I was just curious because for me, it's always hard to like tell when the difference is happening. And I thought that that was like, it's like good gameplay, but you can tell it's also something she's really passionate about. So I was just wondering what everybody's take was on that.
She's also a fantastic actress, as we've seen.
Very
fair question, Phil.
Kelly had like the greatest tribal in a very long time by any player.
Yeah.
It was a great tribal council by Kelly.
It was so good. What do you think though? Do you think she was calculated like having this speech about women, or do you like, what would she have been gaining in that?
I just think that the term Women's Alliance has been thrown around so much on this season that I do think that it's been something that's been sitting in her head saying, I need to somehow get this target off the Women's Alliance, off my back, off of all of this. But I do also think that when it comes up in the moment, she's definitely still just trying to say what's really get it off her chest.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of both. I think that it was something that was definitely brewing in her mind and that she was thinking about saying, but wasn't necessarily going to say until Jamal really pushed her to that point.
Yeah. Alexa, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it reminds me of when Angelina brought up that so few women have found idols compared to men. And you could see like she had been wanting to say that since she got cast. And I think a lot of women, and I think Kelly clearly like has heard so many people. It's kind of like the like Molly being Parvati thing. Like any female who has any form of strategic prowess gets voted out because she's Parvati. And any like 2+ women who end up in the same alliance become a woman's alliance. And I think that is super frustrating for a lot of people, Kelly included. So I think her reaction was extremely genuine and I loved it. And I think it can be a little bit of both. I'm sure she also could probably continue to lean into it because then that puts Jamal on the defense a little bit. So I think everything that came out was extremely genuine, but I think it also benefited her that it was also just kind of falling into where they were going.
Like, take that target off of my back. Yeah. I am not in that. That's not how I'm working. And like, how dare you, which is a perfect way to like really shut it down.
It is.
And it was, I agreed with everything she said. And I thought it was really cool. And that's what I'm liking a lot about this season and what I loved about Angelina. Like, people aren't afraid to call that stuff out anymore. And I think a lot of times people are afraid to call it out. So I really like that.
Yeah. And I think with somebody like Jamal too, who is like the epitome of think before you speak, like that is something he was clearly taught and he's very careful with every word he chooses. I think that when he slips up with something like that or says it casually, you might be a little more alert to it. Cause you're like, this guy says everything. Like, he's thinking through every sentence he says. And then he says that so casually. And it is kind of crazy. We never talk about, oh, there could be a men's alliance. It's always, there could be a woman's alliance. And we talk about it all the time because really, like, the greatest alliance in Survivor history was a woman's alliance. So I think that's why we talk about it so much on Survivor. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up.
Maybe they talk about it. Like, we talked about it a lot, but it didn't ever make the air. Like, the only time you ever saw on my season was when I like flipped out on Dom and everyone was like, Kellen bullied Dom. Cause I was like, no effing way are we going to go after Michael now? Like, you guys, this whole story. And now all of a sudden you like want a buddy buddy with the one guy over there and you're trying to save him. That's where I was like, And that's where Dom was like, okay, I'm scared of Kellen. Like, she just lost it a little bit. So I think it probably happens more than it's ever been shown. I agree with you that the perception is that there are more women's alliances and all that stuff, but I do think that women are calculating that while they're out there, and it may just not make air and all that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's always doing the math. Always.
Yeah.
And Phil, I think, like you said, the most successful alliance of all time was a women's alliance. And I think that's why people are so afraid of showmances, because the most successful showmance won Rob and Amber $2 million. Mm-hmm. So I think people see the most successful version of something and then are so afraid of it. So I totally get Jamal being afraid of it. And we ended up having a pretty cool moment where he tells Jeff to ask Nora if she was involved in a women's alliance. And Jeff quite literally
amazing
repeats, like, even does Jamal's like hand motions again. And so I think that's why, and I've read like so much about this, and I think that's why some people are confused as to why Kelly and Janet and Krishma and Nora were upset with it, because there was talk of a women's alliance, but the concern isn't that it actually happened. It's just that as soon as one is even a concept, everyone needs to shut it down.
And I think
hear that about a men's alliance.
And I think that's why I feel like it was a little more calculated, is because when Jeff asked Nora, what does Nora say? Well, yeah, there's a women's alliance. Yeah. And I think that that kind of says to you, like, Jamal wasn't wrong bringing it up.
No,
it is something that's going on. So I do think it was a little calculated by Kelly, her answer at least. But it's a really interesting conversation, because we've heard a lot on this season. The women can take over. They can get the numbers. We can make this happen. Now we're going into the merge. Is that going to happen? And
what is the gender split?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that one.
Three, four.
I feel like a lot of men went home pre-merge.
Eight. There are eight women left. So it's eight to five.
Five, yeah. So that's a lot. And so they could literally vote out two women and still have the numbers, and then vote out a guy, and then vote out another woman and still have the numbers. And so maybe the talk's just been there because it's like a women-dominated season, at least right now. But I don't know. It's something to look for going forward, because if the final five ends up being all women, Jamal might not have been wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not wrong. And I think I'm not like by any means, not surprise anyone, a scholar of any of this stuff. So I shouldn't even really speak to it. But like the fear of that men and masculine has of feminine power, and like how our structure and society like is builds to keep women out of power, like it's they're crazy or there's something scary about it or all of these things, like we are all built to, the society is built to like say that if that happens something's gonna go wrong, and there are all these reasons why that shouldn't be the case. And so it's interesting to think about how like societal roles and gender play into all of it as well.
Well, my next three people are all women. While we're talking about this, right, I might as well, like, should I just rattle off what I got here? I got,
go for it.
I have Missy at number 8, I have Elizabeth at number 9, and I have Karishma at number 10. So I know I'm the first one to bring up Karishma as well, although I did just jump ahead of both of you after our female versus male talk. I gotta jump ahead. If you guys want me to finish and then I can just end the podcast and I can tweet out the rest of your power rankings. But I just think that, you know, Karishma has just been living on borrowed time this entire season, so I'm always going to have her low. But what better time than for her to really start excelling than after the merge? I mean, she seems like she's working pretty closely with people, though she looked shocked last week when Dean played
such a great voting confessional with Dean.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I got you on the first try, and then it's like, no, you didn't, which was fun as a viewer to watch that and just know she was about to be so wrong. But I think that she's going to be okay this week, because why are you going to vote out Karishma right now? Like, to me, it just doesn't make sense. I know that she's like, she's one of the Lyros, and maybe you want to get rid of one of the Lyros. But to me, every other Lyro should be a bigger threat. Now, Aaron and Missy have better relationships, but you're really going to get rid of her before you get rid of Dean or Elaine? Like, that just seems like it would be a crazy move to me. So I have Karishma at number 10, still not super high on her, but let's see what happens this week, because I said this earlier, what better season for somebody like Karishma to get all the way to the end than a season where Sandra is the one teaching you? Because why is Karishma being looked at negatively? It's because she's bad at challenges. She's not a person that people don't like. She's just really bad at challenges. Now that doesn't matter. So let's see what she actually has. And then, like I said, I had Elizabeth at 9, Missy at 8. I think both of them are going to be okay this week, though Alexa claims that Elizabeth's about to get shot in the face, so we'll see what ends up happening.
Such a bad
I keep saying it too.
I think you're totally right about Karishma. I have Aaron at number 8 and Karishma at number 9. I think when they hit the swap, I think Karishma really got a new lease on life. And I actually think, even though Karishma's on the wrong side of the votes, but pretty much everybody was on the wrong side of the votes last week, I think Karishma is very ingrained in that new Lyro crew. I think, and from what it sounds like, Jack and Jamal really trusted her. So I think that group really does believe that she's not going to go back to the original Lyros. And I think, I don't even want to say that like they would use her as a vote, because I think that she has a say in their votes. And then they could link back up with Tommy and Lauren and Dan and still have her. So I think she like passed such a milestone by making that swap. And I think making the merge, she's really going to blossom. And I know a lot of people aren't crazy about Karishma, but I think we're going to get a really good growth story out of her. And I'm really excited for it.
As Kellen's over here, like, I have her number 12.
No, I have her. No, I was just thinking through because I have her at 10 as well. So okay. We have her at 10 and 9. So none of us put her in the top half. And so it's just like interesting to, I was just trying to think through like, why is it that we're like, well, she probably won't go this week, but it's close, but why? I don't know. I was just trying to, I don't know. I'm not making sense right now. It's just interesting that we have her at the same spot. All three of us have her essentially at the same spot.
We all have her near the bottom, but none of us are putting her in the bottom three. And in a week where we think two people are going home. So none of us think that she's really going, but none of us are confident enough to put her up despite the fact that there's no reason she should go home this week.
Other than she abandoned her old tribe. She's saying she's working with the new one. So she has created enemies essentially. And like, that's another person. Like the Dan thing is like, this is why. The other thing with Karishma is everyone can say like, she jumped ship in their own individual conversations, and then she could get left out in that sense. So that's why I think there's a risk, especially with the two votes. Maybe she'll sneak through. Never know.
That's all she has to do. That's what she's been doing all season. It's been working.
Who
was your number 9? I got a gap there for you.
I have Missy at 9. So, okay. And I went no back one's high and on forth. Missy. With Missy on putting her like she might be the merge boot as well in a way of like what her risk is, although with my boy Aaron he's gonna be saving her, so it's fine. But I think Missy is coming across as like a strong player, and I think people know that she is like outwardly spoken about strategy. I mean, we've seen her at Tribal like talk about being super strategic and like take no prisoners sort of thing, which I love to watch. But if she comes out swinging, she might really overplay and then not make it through. But I think there are other safer bets and other people who don't have someone trying to save them. So that's why I have Missy at 9.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's kind of why I have Missy at 8. I still think Missy can win Survivor Island of the Idols. But I still think Missy can go home any tribal council. Right now, really interesting, we are going into the merge on a season called Island of the Idols. Who has an idol?
I love it.
No one.
I love it.
No one has an idol. We're at the merge of a season that has idols in the title. It rhymed. And we do not have a single player with an idol. That's so crazy to me. That's so crazy. And we've had two people get voted out with them. We've had one person have to play theirs and play it for Dean. And then we had one person play theirs for no reason. So we have seen idol plays, or we've seen lack of idol plays, but we have no idols going into the merge. This is so exciting until four people find them in the first 5 minutes of this week.
Yeah. It's going to be like idol and advantage crazy.
Yeah. But I can't believe that we're about to do this. That's what's making this so much harder, is I can't sit here and say this is my guaranteed number one because they have an idol and why would you not play it if you felt in danger at the merge? I can't say that this week.
Yeah, no one – that's – somebody will find one before they go to tribal, at least one person. Mm-hmm. But there – so we're saying that there was an idol at the new Lyro with Elizabeth, Missy, Aaron, Elaine, Dan, Tommy, and Lauren, and none of them found it.
None of them found it. Yeah. It's good. I love this. I love that there's advantages, but it's not overkilling it. And I love it. I think it's working very well.
Count your blessings while you have them, because I have a feeling it's going to all change this week.
For the next 20 episodes of Survivor, we're going to see nothing but advantages. So you're right. I should probably.
20 is pretty accurate.
February 12th. We did it.
Early premiere for season 3.
Very early. That's right by the Super Bowl.
And two hours.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully every episode is just 2 hours. And this podcast is 2 hours. You guys are just, everybody is just living.
Yeah, we're an hour 15. Oh my gosh.
I know. It's because Kellen brings out the worst to me. I can't stop talking once she's here. Where are we? Maybe I won't go next. Oh, Alexa, you haven't done your number 10 yet. Who you got?
I haven't yet. I have Detective Dean at number 10. I think Dean, Phil, you mentioned.
What was that noise? What was that?
Wait, did I just like hop into my? Pause. Was that loud?
You no, literally were just like, mm-hmm.
No, it was
I'm embarrassed about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think this red. Is the better name. Anyway,
has Daddy Dean been mentioned yet? That was totally like I had no recollection. Like I did not know that was coming out of my mouth.
Oh, just a natural, a natural feeling when Dean's name comes up. You can't help it.
No, not at all.
All right. So, yeah, everybody, let's calm down. So, yeah, Daddy Dean at number 10. I think Phil, you mentioned that Karishma was living on borrowed time. I think Dean is like the best example of that. And I think he could very well stick with Kelly, or if he sticks with Kelly, everything could go well and someone else could throw him under the bus because obviously a lot of people are annoyed with him. He could try to, I'm getting.
Detective Dean,
she's coming
up.
By.
Yeah, Detective Dean does. I actually think Dean lives in New York, so something, you can call me. I love French Frankfurt. Oh, so he might try to throw Kelly under the bus, but Kelly has a lot more social clout than Dean does at this moment. So you could try to throw her under the bus and then she gets him voted out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where Dean stands. He could be a number. He could get himself in trouble, but he's on the case, so it's fine.
He's on the case. I can't handle it.
I cracked myself up.
Oh my God.
That was a good little.
What timing on that for Dean to just be driving by as you're talking about him. Just unbelievable.
Dean drove by and he said, Alexa, that's a terrible take, and just kept going.
He just kept going. He didn't have time to stop. Kellen, since I've jumped over you the entire time, well, you both have done your 13, so whoever goes next is going to do their 11 and their 12. So maybe I should go next, but I don't want to jump over you again, Kellen, because I've been doing that the entire time.
Thank you for asking. You go right ahead, Phil.
Okay, thank you. my number 11 is also Detective Dean. So I actually don't have him as one of the two people going home this week. I think he's in a good position. I need him to drive by now. It'd be weird if he drove by my apartment because I'm not near a road. So he goes through my courtyard over here. But I just think after everything he went through in this pre-merge of being Purple Dean and then getting his girlfriend voted out, who he was clearly dating at the time, and then meeting somebody who just happened to know one of his old girlfriends, and he's just been on this roller coaster. And I don't think Dean has done much wrong. Like, Dean has said some like dumb things, but you know, we're all hungry and we all get the worst parts of us edited sometimes.
Yes.
And so I think he's definitely said some dumb things, but I don't think anybody dislikes Dean. I think Dean's a really likable guy. Nora dislikes Dean. That's true. Nora definitely dislikes Dean. But everybody
I think
else.
The word she used was hate.
Maybe? The H word. Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody that's not Nora doesn't hate Dean. So I just think Dean is somehow found himself in a good position where he should still go home this week. Like, he should go home because he's not on the right side of the numbers. He's a strong guy. But I mean, there's an ex-survivor who loves to bring up that Dean isn't very tall. And maybe so this is just happening where like Dean isn't looking like as imposing of a figure as Dean is. Because Dean's a really athletic guy. But here he is just like.
Nobody's like, oh, he's a college athlete or whatever. Yeah. Like
a basketball player, like he's got to be quick. Most of these games are just shoot things. I mean,
I know there's so many
basketball. Not the Alexa kind of shoot things.
That yeah, exactly. The safer kind with a coconut instead of a whatever Alexa shoot people.
I'm gonna regret that one.
But yeah, he's only 5'10", says Log Chi, and somebody.
I don't think he's 5'10", is he?
I don't know, somebody's very jealous of Dean's look.
It was like,
yeah, actually, I just clicked over on the chat. I hadn't looked yet, but somebody said Logan Legere. Logan, I don't want to say your name. I'm sorry. Looks cool. That Detective Dean is a player, but you also said before that one up above is that he's a swing vote.
Interesting.
That one. Yes. Yeah, so to think of Dean as a swing vote keeps him a little bit safer. And so Logan is voting with me that Dean is safe in position 4. So I'm just going to argue with the two of you. But I can see him. He's like living on borrowed time or whatever the phrase is. So I don't strongly disagree with you, but I'm putting my money that he's going to make it through.
I'm not making any more bets because every bet I make with a survivor, I lose. I owe Carl a case of beer and I owe Lauren $20 of Applebee's. So I'm not betting with you.
You're done with the betting.
Dean is 5'10", according to the Columbia University website.
Yes.
Okay, but he's an athlete. That's his athlete profile?
That's his athlete profile, yeah.
So he's probably like...
You think it's like his Bumble profile where he's probably like adding like 3 inches?
I would say if he's a athlete, his profile says 5'10", I bet he's like barely 5'9".
You think I tower over him, Kellen? Is that what you're saying?
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'9".
I think you're probably similarly heighted.
Okay.
Wow.
We'll see.
Sports guys always lie about their height.
Well, they have to. It's like they do, though. You're right. They do.
They freaking do. Yeah. Detective Kellen on the case of Dean. Like,
yeah, I like this.
I'm going to look for Dean on New York dating apps and see what he has listed as his.
Oh, I guarantee you he has 5'10". He might even have 5'11".
He has 5'11".
Well, yeah, I'm probably 5'11". Too, as far as dating apps are concerned. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I'm 4'8".
I always lean down. I would say I'm 5'6", but I'm not even 5'6".
Kellen gets the swipe left because she's too short. I don't have time for that.
Yeah. No, I always put my height up because guys are lying. So it's like, if you have a complex, dude, like I always put 5'9", and I'm not quite 5'9". So
I have mine at 5'8", and I feel like that's such a danger zone because 5'8" is where a lot of guys put it when they're not 5'8". So it's a whole thing.
What is that supposed to mean? But this is also why, if you look at Kellen's Instagram story, I made her take a picture from above us. So nobody knows that I am like up to everybody's chest and that's it. So.
Don't worry. I can post the one that is me cradling you like a baby. And you look a lot shorter than me in that
yeah,
one.
It's true.
I only have like one eye open. I look real bad, to be honest. It was like an ego thing to not post it, but you look cute. You're like nook.
I'll post that one and then the one of me and Bradley cuddling.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's one I'm saving for Bradley when something good is going on for him. I'm just going to post that to bring him back down to earth, you know?
Yes, we all have those photos in our phones to remind him.
He's got to watch himself. All right.
Sorry.
Now that it's only Alexa who wants to go to bed. I don't care about her.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Midnight.
I said my 11 was Dean. Who wants to go? Who wants to finish there since you both have Dan in spot 13?
I'll finish it up. I have Nora at 11 and my girl, Elizabeth, at number 12. I think Elizabeth she's a number two and people are going to they're going to gun for Missy, get nervous, and they're going to go for Elizabeth. They're going to gun for Elaine, get nervous, go for Elizabeth. People always vote out the challenge beast. Elizabeth is fantastic in challenges. Everybody likes her. I think she's in trouble. And then Dan's definitely going home.
Dan's going to hang out. Dan, final five. I'll finish mine so we save Kellen's for last, and she's the best. So we'll do that. I have Jamal at 12 and I have Elaine at 13. So that's why Alexa, when you said Elaine is your number one, I was like, really?
Everyone who complains that Phil and I agree too much. Don't you worry.
This is a tough season to agree on. There's so much craziness that goes on, but I just all season, it's been Elaine is too good at making people like her. Elaine is too good at this game. She's in the minority of the original alliances. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem like she has a really tight ally. The two people that she was shown the closest with pre-merge are gone in Tom and Vince. So I think that she's in a lot of trouble here. I think that she could definitely go home. I think Jamal's in a lot of trouble because he no longer has an idol, but that looks kind of sneaky. And I think Jamal's kind of like he's just such a big figure on this season. I don't mean that in a bad way. He just is who he is. And I think that some people love him, and I think some people are going to be rubbed the wrong way by him, but he doesn't really have a number one. Jamal and Elaine, Alexa, when you talk about who has friends, right now, Jamal and Elaine, the two people that they were shown the closest with, Vince and Tom, Molly and Jack, they are all at home. And so I just think that puts them in a really bad position when you come into a merge where there's not really much need for a free agent at this merge because there's been so many like lines drawn in the sand. I don't think you need a free agent. I think you need somebody you can be solid with. So I think that those two are just in a lot of trouble.
I think that's a great observation. I hope you're wrong, but I think that's a great observation.
Thanks, Kelly.
I love that honesty.
Yeah.
You're the only one
that
left.
Leaves me.
Take us home.
That's
so
it.
I have Jamal and Nora. Jamal in 11 and Nora in 12. I just don't know that Nora has. I think she could also be in the same reason of like, oh, we're voting out Dan because of this. I feel like Nora could be the one that is just like, unless she's going to move to goat status, mm-hmm. I think she's at risk, which makes me so sad. Like, I want to watch her every single week on my TV. Please keep her and in person. She seems awesome. Like, read that Hollywood Reporter article, everybody. It's so good. And just like, because she's just so honest and vulnerable and like is hilarious and like, she is like the voice in everyone's head. She just says it out loud. So I love that about her. Jamal, I think to Alexa's point, he is, or maybe it was you, Phil. I don't know. That he's just like a central character and now he's lost his allies. There's some light shining on him right now. And so he might be the one to go. Unless he goes with my crew that I'm calling Aaron, Dean, Tommy, Lauren, and like if Jamal hooks up with them, then he might be okay. But yeah, I think we'll lose two of either Dan, Nora, or Jamal.
Okay. I will say too, and just to keep harping on the Jamal thing, we always talk about edgic, or not really edgic, but we talk about the edit that people have, and complex person is always the one that comes up. Has there been an episode where Jamal has not had the complex? Like, there's always one where somebody's hero or negative, or I feel like he's just always getting the complex, like, but big character every episode he's in, but it's always like, even when he
like
was mad,
five or however they do that.
Like, yeah. Whatever like, yeah, it is. Yeah. But even that episode where he was really mad that Molly had gone home and he's like, I'm not going to talk to any of you. Then he goes and finds the idol. And it's like, what do I think about this guy? I said before the season or after the first episode, I said, I'm really worried about the Robin Sandra thing because they're telling me what to think. And now like with Jamal and some of these other people on the season, I'm like, somebody tell me what to think. I don't know. What do I do with Jamal?
Are they smart or not? Like Rob hasn't told me what to think yet. So
it's
yeah.
bothering me. I need to know. Jamal needs to go to Island of the Idol. So I know whether I'm supposed to root for him or not, because he is such a complex character on this season.
Honestly, like I'm rooting for him for sure. Mm-hmm. Even though with the, like the Kelly thing, I like wanted to roll my eyes when he didn't want to do that. But I like as a person, and I think he's I don't know. I'm rooting for him. I love the way he handled everything and in the last few episodes and all that. So I really like him. I'm rooting for him as a person to person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, his edit has been interesting. He's Absolutely. Definitely not getting a winner's edit. That's for sure.
And that's why I keep going back to Sean Rector. It's just every week there'd be times where you just go, oh my God. And then there'd be other times where you're like, wow, like that is like, that is the perfect way to say everything that I wanted to say. Like, he's just so good at that. And he just goes back and forth. And I'm like, God, where is he going? But I think he's getting, maybe he doesn't go this week. And he is actually going to be somebody who makes it all the way to the finale and is just kind of getting like this journey arc and like, you know, really just like, you know, being some, I don't even know how I would describe it, but either way, I'm all in on Jamal. I like him a lot.
I'm really into him, but I think his good is really good and his bad is not that bad. His good has shown me two very like insightful, understanding conversations, and his bad has been cockiness and abrasiveness, which happens on Survivor. So
I think everyone acts that way at some point out there. It's just a matter of if it gets on the screen or not.
Yeah, and for some reason, people really bite his head off over it. So I don't know. That's what I've noticed. Like the whole like not bringing you back to tribal, like taking the nap, like what are you doing? Like yelling at, like, you know, the fire thing with Kelly, what are you doing? But those are things that have happened before and they're not great, but they're understandable.
Yeah.
It's human.
And it's human. He's human.
Yeah. He's
he is being like, you're just like, I feel like everyone who's watching can find a way to relate to Jamal and the way he's like trying to listen and trying to, because he's so good at explaining his situation. I'm not saying that he's just very eloquent, and it makes it easy to feel like, oh, I felt that way too, because he describes things so well. Or I've never felt that way, because that's not my life situation. Mm-hmm. I've never had to feel that way. But this is how I should have empathy. Like the way that he had the conversation with Jack, and to talk to like an extremely fairly conservative audience. Like, I think it was wonderful the way he talked with Jack, and like, it's not his responsibility to like teach people to not say stupid shit. Like, but he did it anyway, and did it with grace and kindness. And it was really cool to watch. So I'm rooting for him. If he did win, it would be a celebration. But I don't think that's probably going to happen with what he falls short. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So that's all of our power rankings. Alexa, Vaughn's picking Aaron for Eliminator. Who are you picking?
Nora,
there you go. Alexa didn't pick live last time, so I hope you typed it in.
I picked last week.
Kellen, you and I got knocked out the same week. Not that you actually did anything, but Johnny Fairplay picked Tom Laidlaw the week Tom Laidlaw went home, so he ruined the game for all the survivors. So no fun for you. Who went home last week? Not last week was
Jack.
So Jack went home. Whose team was he on?
Oh, fantasy team. I don't know.
Oh, he was on Vaughn's. Oh, wow. So once again, I have five people going into the merge. I just wanted to throw that out there. I didn't really get to talk about how good my fantasy team is.
How many people do you start with? Five?
Six. And I got five.
Who was your one who didn't make it?
Tom. So like, why is Tom not there? I don't know. But I also have Nora and Karishma on my team, so I don't know how they're still there. So I'll stick with it. And I have Dan. I have Dan, Karishma, and Nora. Okay? Let's think about this. And also, Vaughn said that none of the older people on the season would make the merge. And Janet and who is it? Janet made it. Tom didn't make it, but Janet and Dan both made it. So ha, Vaughn, ha, wrong again. Sorry, Kellen, since you probably have no idea what we're talking about, but Vaughn comes on sometimes.
Okay. No, that's I like to hear about it. It's good.
Okay. All right, Alexa, what else do we have? Do we have anything else that we need to like quiz Kellen on before we let her go? It's only been an hour and a half, and she's not nearly as drunk as last time, which is just infuriating.
Yeah.
What do we got?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I feel like
it's like the middle of the night for Alexa right now.
It's like the middle of the morning for Alexa, so, right?
Phil and I were texting someone earlier today, and Phil goes, "I don't think Alexa sleeps," which is pretty accurate. But no, I like this. This is fun. I guess it's 2 hours, so we'll do a 10 p.m. Eastern recap, Phil. Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to do 10 p.m. recap. I'll be watching it at work for the last hour of work, and then I'll just stay at work and watch the second hour in the office. So probably thinking like 10:30 Eastern is probably more accurate, but I'll keep it on at work, and hopefully my boss doesn't ask me to do dumb stuff like right when Survivor starts, which is what normally happens. But that's life, right? Living on the West Coast. I could just make Alexa stay up till 2:30 in the morning. I don't really care.
Please, God, no.
That doesn't bother
me. Wednesday on a school night.
No. But I think the last time I did power rankings, it was two people were going home the next week, too.
I know.
You purposely do this. Kellen was mad at me because I didn't invite her like the first time I saw her when the season began. We didn't even know. And I'm like, all right, Kellen, let's go. Fine. And we scheduled it, and she knew it was going to be the merge. That's why she wanted this.
I did not know that at all. And I was a little bit tipsy when I saw you, so I really probably was just giving you ish.
You were giving me, what is it, guff? Like, you just hating on me? I'm like, come on, Kellen, what did I do? Oh,
definitely I was just hating on you.
This is what happens. Don't hang out with survivors, people. They all hate on you.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. We love you, Phil. We do. I don't know who we is. I love you. I can't speak for all of the survivors. I don't know how they all feel.
They all do. If you can find one survivor who doesn't like me, it's not that hard. All right, Alexa, take us home.
And if you want some survivors to hate you, make sure to follow us at Survivor Specialist on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow us on YouTube. We will be posting this on iTunes, even though Phil has not yet posted our episode 7 recap.
Alexa should learn how, right, everybody?
Somebody was asking for it. Get that stuff up there.
You're right, Kellen. A couple people have been asking for it, as well as tweeting at us. So we'll make sure to get that up, along with this one, because this was fantastic. If you use Spotify, we're also on Spotify, which is very exciting.
You guys are like using mics now and on Spotify and stuff. Look at you, fancy pants.
I know.
Drinking McDonald's.
This is what I was going to say. As I haven't posted the other thing, I've eaten fast food as like 10 of my last meals because I have not been home. This is the longest I've been home in like 10 days. So I'll post it. It'll happen.
Please do.
We got a lot of views on YouTube.
McDonald's because we spent too much money on expensive mics, which weren't working for me tonight. So what else am I missing? Yeah, we'll be back this Wednesday.
2 days. Short turnaround this time.
You know, quick one. 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time for our merge and additional episode recap. And become a patron of the Survivor Specialist. Go to patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. And we have a lot of really good stuff. We're doing, we'll do our Q&A probably sometime next week. And then we have a fun retrospective for all of you $10 patrons. So sign up. It's a lot of fun. Join our Facebook group. And Kellen, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for dealing with our moving schedule today. There's a motorcycle outside. It's Dean. He's back.
Dean is back.
He's back.
Now he's back to pick you up. Before he was the detective. Yes, now he's off.
Yeah, thank you. We always love having you on, Kellen. So thank you.
So fun. Love you guys. It was fun. And go down there. Link, subscribe, like, do all the things.
I thought you were just pointing at your shirt. Ghost Island.
Oh, yeah. Ghost Island. Yeah. This is just like one of my most comfortable sweatshirts.
It looks comfy.
And in my old age, I'm liking sweatshirts that don't have hoods because I feel like the hoods like do this. And I learned the crew neck and now I'm a fan.
I like the crew neck. It's cute.
I just wanted to put my hood up so that everybody knows I'm not old yet.
You aren't. I'm the old lady. I'm the one planning my 40th birthday plan.
Yeah. With Keith, Nail, and Janet. That's a
I love this
group of three right there.
If this actually happens, I hope I'll be like super rich by the time I'm 40. I'll just fly you both there to be there.
Thank you.
This all happens.
Or you could just conveniently have it in LA, you know. Just saying. LA Applebee's. I know where it is.
Hey, there we go. You know, I'm a Chili's fan, but we will not go through.
How dare you mention Chili's on a Survivor podcast, Kellen? How dare you?
Apparently, you guys don't listen to Rob, your competitor, which I understand because literally Rob and I talked about Chili's in my recap of the week of the thing for like a good 20 minutes, probably at least. So,
no, I listened to it and I was starving by the end of it. I've never been to an Applebee's, but I have been to many a Chili's and I'm Team Chili's.
That's
I'm
not
definitely
fair.
Team Chili's.
Yeah.
Poor Applebee's didn't even get a chance. But yeah, Chili's is so much better. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, don't tell anyone. All right, Alexa, shall we say goodbye for real?
Press the big red button. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I have to push it. That's right. Bye. No,